Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first pilot episode of the Silver Screen Speech Podcast. That's right, folks. This is a brand new show. I am one of your hosts, the Vern of the Vern to Video Vortex, and with me is Christina Lue of Aftercut Reviews, or her new site, Dying Thoughts of a Cinephile. Hello, Christina.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much. Now, for our listeners, you may recognize Christina from being a guest on my other podcast, the As You Watch podcast, and I have to let my listeners know that I am not leaving that show. Nick and Joe are a big part of my podcast in life, and I'm going to do that show for a while. The basic premise of this show is we want to talk about current trends or movie news without going over gossip of movie stars' lives. Because I don't know about you, Christina, but I have a big problem of like turning on like E Entertainment Television or any type of like news entertainment show, and they tell you that, oh, we're going to be this great movie show, and all it is just gossip.
Well, you and I share the same problem.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care about what goes on, like, actors' personal lives. I don't care what kind of trouble they get into. And I just feel like those shows, that's all they do.
Yeah, I just think it's irrelevant. If you love movies, I don't know why it matters what, you know, I don't know, Tom Cruise is doing on his weekend.
Mm-hmm. And the host of those shows are, like, really annoying, too. Like, just check out what, you know, Bradley Cooper did at a bar nightclub. Ooh, or, you know, yeah, I didn't want to do that. So we didn't want to do that. You know, we want to give listeners who are movie fans, you know, nice little insights into movies that are in pre-production, you know, things that are coming out. But, you know, we're not going to talk about who's sleeping with who and whatnot. That's not what the show's about. But for this first episode, we thought we would go over the Oscar nominees. Now, on other episodes, we will talk about, you know, the top movies in the box office, as well as movies that are coming out to DVD or movie theaters. But for this episode, we're just going to go over the Oscar nominees. So, Christina, do you have any – what were your thoughts about the Oscar, you know, nominees?
I thought they were very typical of what everyone was, you know, predicting. I think, what was it, American Hustle, and what was the other one that got 10 nominations, the most nominations?
Oh, was that 12 Years a Slave?
Yeah, 12 Years a Slave. Everyone was saying that those two films were going to be neck and neck come Oscar season, and they were pretty accurate. I'm rooting for 12 Years a Slave. I love Steve McQueen, so there's my bias right there. Overall, yeah, pretty predictable. You know, Wolf of Wall Street, Gravity got some nominations. Dallas Buyers Club, I didn't expect so many nominations from Dallas Buyers Club just because it's so indie. I feel like the Academy typically goes for bigger budget films, you know, Gravity, but was very happy to see her in the list for Best Picture.
Oh, yes, very much so. Well, very cool. Well, let's just get into it right now, though. Why don't we just start talking about, we'll go over some of the categories. We're not going to go over all of them, but we'll go over some of the main ones. So let's just start right now with the Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role. Mm-hmm. And for this one, we've got Farhad Abdi for Captain Phillips,
mm-hmm.
Bradley Cooper for American Hustle, Jonah Hill for The Wolf of Wall Street, Michael Fassbender for 12 Years a Slave, and Jared Leto for Dallas Buyers Club. Any surprises in that one for you, Christina?
Definitely. Farhad Abdi, you know, first-time nominee, and I think this was his first film also, so it's always really, really nice. Now, I haven't seen the film, but it's just always so refreshing to see, you know, new faces during Oscar time, during award season, you know, when you have someone like Bradley Cooper, who's been nominated consecutively. I think he was nominated last year for Silver Linings Playbook. It's kind of like, this guy again. Now, I love Bradley Cooper, so, you know, please don't hate me for saying that, but it's just, it's really nice. And the other thing I noticed is that Abdi, along with Michael Fassbender and Jared Leto, are first-time Oscar nominees, which I was like a little surprised because Michael Fassbender, he turned out such an amazing performance a few years ago for another Steve McQueen film, Shame. And he was snubbed, I thought, for that one. So it's nice to see him get an actor or a Best Supporting Actor nomination this time.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of actors that were snubbed before in previous years are getting praise this year. I do want to also praise Barkhad Abdi because he is from my home state of Minnesota. So I gotta give support to Minnesota. So I'm gonna secretly root for him because it'd be kind of nice to have a Minnesota, you know, resident win that award. So congratulations on getting the nominations and supporting Minnesota. That's awesome. And I didn't realize this too. This is Jonah Hill's second nomination.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that the fat kid from Superbad would be an Academy Award nominated actor? That's incredible. I think he was probably my biggest surprise. But looking back at it, and the movie, yeah, I shouldn't be surprised that he did get that nomination because he was really good in that. I have no flaws at all. I do think Jared Leto is going to take this one home.
Oh, you think so?
You do? Yeah, I do. Do you have a doubt on that?
I think if anyone's going to give Leto a run for his money, it's going to be Fassbender. I think that performance was just so jaw-dropping and so jarring. I don't know. It'll be a close run between the two, I think.
Between those two. Okay, we'll have to make a little wager bet on that later on. Okay.
Okay.
So moving on from there, we've got the best performance by an actress in a supporting role. We have Sally Hawkins for Blue Jasmine. Julia Roberts for August Osage County, Lupita Nyong'o for 12 Years a Slave, Jennifer Lawrence for American Hustle, and June Squibb for Nebraska. Who do you think is going to win this one?
Oh, it's so hard because I've only seen two of the films, 12 Years to Save an American Hustle, so I can't really say anything about Squibb, Roberts, or Hawkins. Just based on what I've seen and what I've heard, I'm going to say Lupita Nyong'o, just because, you know, that was such an amazing performance. But I thought it was also nice to see more fresh faces being nominated, because this is Lupita Nyong'o's first time being nominated for an Oscar, as well as June Squibb and Sally Hawkins, so that was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, next to Jennifer Lawrence and Roberts, who at this point I think are like Oscar darlings, so it's nice seeing new faces and old faces in the same bag.
Yeah, and I agree with you too about, from what I've seen of Lupita's performance in 12 Years a Slave, it's a really great performance. I think all the actresses here give really great performances. Sally Hawkins is really good in Blue Jasmine. And then you got Julia Roberts for August Osage County, really good. But usually Academy voters like to nominate characters. And not just characters, caricatures. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to go with Jennifer Lawrence just for her over-the-top performance in that role. I mean, that's like the Marissa Tomei performance.
I disagree, just because she won last year, and I don't think that's ever happened where an actor won 2 years in a row.
But it's for two different categories.
I know, but okay, I love Jennifer Lawrence. I think she's an amazing actress. I loved her since I saw her Winner's Bone, but I don't get why she was nominated this time. You know, I felt there are so many other actresses who, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say anything mean because I really like her, but I felt this wasn't her best performance, just because I think she's so talented, and I've seen much better performances from her.
I can agree with you on that. I liked her character a lot in American Hustle. It's a fun character. She's great in it. I do agree with you that it's not really award-worthy for sure, but I'm picking stuff what I think the Academy might go for, and I think they're going to give the edge to Jennifer Lawrence and her performance in this, but we'll see for sure. But I'm going to give the edge out to Jennifer Lawrence for the Academy's pick. I think my pick would probably go to Sally Hawkins for Blue Jasmine.
Okay.
But going on from there, let's go and move on to Best Original Screenplay. And for this one, we have American Hustle, written by Eric Stener and David O. Russell. Blue Jasmine, written by Woody Allen. Her, written by Spike Jones. Nebraska, written by Bob Nelson. And Dallas Buyers Club, written by Craig Borton and Melissa Wallach. And I don't know about you, but Christina, but my choice is Her by Spike Jones.
My choice is also Her. I love Spike Jones. I feel sometimes if I were a filmmaker, I would want to make the type of films that Spike Jones makes. So I'm really biased here. He's one of my favorites. But absolutely, it's so poignant. It's so romantic and tragic and beautiful and everything that I want in a movie. So it'd be really nice to see someone like Spike Jones, because you don't see him at award seasons. He's someone who everyone talks about, but you never see him win any accolades. So that'd be really nice if he won. Yeah,
I agree with that too. I loved Her. I love the fact that Spike Jones can take these really off the wall concepts and turn them into such beautiful, well told stories. I mean, the initial concept of a guy, you know, dating his computer is a really odd concept. But he grounds it in this reality that you don't really see much in movies today. It's really brilliant. So I do hope he wins it for this. And he also plays a role in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, there's a lot of directors who make cameos in that film.
Yeah, so he could actually maybe have a couple awards, you know, from Wolf of Wall Street and Her. I do also want to praise Blue Jasmine, Woody Allen's script of Blue Jasmine. Really, really well done script about the downfall of the of a group that you don't hear much from. You know, the downfall of the wives of these bankers that frauded people and lost all their money. And I think that with Woody Allen's script and Cate Blanchett's performance, it puts together a really, really good drama that infuses a lot of comedy and drama, which I think is really brilliant of a script right there. But yeah, I think that Her is going to win this one. The only upset I can see is maybe Nebraska or American Hustle, but I think the voters will go for Her.
Really, because I think they're going to go with American Hustle.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because I feel like the Academy just loves a Russell. They really do. So I think they're going to go with him.
They're going with the Hustle, huh? They're going to do the Hustle. All right. Well, we'll have to see about who's going to do the right dance or not. Moving on from there, we got the Best Adapted Screenplay. And for this one, we've got Before Midnight, written by Richard Linklater, with help from Julie Delpy and Ethan Hawke. Captain Phillips by Billy Ray. Not Billy Ray Cyrus, just Billy Ray. 12 Years a Slave by John Ridley. Wolf of Wall Street by Terrence Winter. And Philomena by Steve Coogan and Jeff Pope. The only thing that I think was omitted from this category that was snubbed was Tracy Letts for Artist Osage County.
I haven't seen it, so.
Okay. I don't know. What do you think about who's going to win this one?
I have no idea, because I did not see as many movies this year as I should have. I've seen 12 Years a Slave and Wolf of Wall Street. That's it for adapted screenplay. But just based on what I heard, oh man, I think it's going to be between those two and Captain Phillips. I think those three are one of those three is going to win.
Okay. Boy, this is a tough one right here. I do love Before Midnight. I think their other movie, Before Sunset, also got nominated. That's great that both of those movies got nominated. I do think that it will lose out to possibly 12 Years a Slave or Wolf of Wall Street. I gotta give it to one of those. Gosh, yeah. Wolf of Wall Street is such an intense movie. It's an intense script. It's one of those stories you don't think is real, but it actually is real. And I think that they make that lifestyle seem so interesting, but at the same time, so disgusting too. I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio and the words he says by Terrence Winter, he's both charismatic, and it makes you kind of love this lifestyle a little bit of like going to parties and everything. But it's also very sleazy as well. It's this story that both praises the lifestyle but also damns it as well. So, yeah, I'm not really quite sure. So your choice would be probably 12 Years a Slave or Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh God, probably 12 Years a Slave, because
12.
I, yeah, 12 Years a Slave, because I love Steve McQueen.
Okay. Right, and plus, it has, a little bit more of a. I personally have not seen this one yet, so I can't say for sure. But I have a feeling that this one probably could win too, just because it has a more of a better message than Wolf of Wall Street.
Its message is more, I think, transparent, I think. Wolf of Wall Street is a little bit more, not comedic, but what's the word? Satirical, I guess.
Satirical. Okay. All right. Well, very cool. Let's go on to our next category here. Let's talk about really quickly the best animated feature film of the year.
Okay.
And for this, we've got The Croods, Despicable Me 2, sorry, Ernest and Celestine, or is that my am I saying the right Celestine?
I've never heard that movie, so I don't know.
Okay. Frozen. And The Wind Rises. Now, to be fair, I have only seen partial bits of Despicable Me 2 because I rented it for my niece and nephews, but they can never really sit still and watch a movie, so I didn't really get a chance to pay attention to the movie. So, based on all the nominees here, I want to give the edge to The Wind Rises just because it's Miyazaki. And I'm a big fan of his movies, and I really kind of want him to win again after winning for Spirited Away. I do think it's probably going to go to Frozen.
Yeah. It usually goes with the most popular film, so I would say Frozen 2. And to be fair, I haven't seen any of these movies, so don't feel bad.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say Frozen, but I heard this is Miyazaki's last film, The Wind Rises, so they might give it to him. Who knows?
Well, yeah, because I think that Spirited Away wasn't really that popular either, and it still managed to win.
Yeah.
I mean, it did all right, but it wasn't like a huge like box office. Yeah, I still think it might go to that. Then again, it might totally surprise me and go to The Croods, which I don't know why. I'm sure that movie's good. I know a lot of people say that movie's funny. Just something about watching Cavemen when I could easily watch The Flintstones instead. I don't know. But kind of strange things there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprise Monsters, Inc. didn't show up on
I
that
thought.
list.
Exactly. I kind of thought that one was too. And this Ernest and Celestine, like I said, never heard of this one. In fact, I just heard about it just now, and it's a story about a bear and a mouse. But it's hand-drawn animation, and I've got to praise, all movies that are done in hand-drawn animation
Yeah.
versus all computer.
Yeah, for sure. Because everything's done on computer now.
Well, definitely. So it's kind of nice to have a little something different there. All right, folks. Let's go ahead right now, and we are going to move over to best, yes. You know what? We're not going to do that right now. We're going to go on to something. Yeah, we're going to go to the best foreign language film of the year. The nominees for best foreign language film, and to be fair, I have not seen any of these. We got The Broken Circle Breakdown from Belgium. The Missing Picture from Cambodia. The Hunt from Denmark. The Great Beauty from Italy. And Omar from Palestine. Like I said before, I have no clue about any of these movies, but based on what I've been hearing, I'm probably going to give the edge to The Hunt.
Really?
Do you have something else to...
Well, I haven't seen any of these movies, but I would go with The Great Beauty from Italy just because it just won a Golden Globe this past Sunday.
That's a very good point there. I think The Hunt only picked up just so many few awards here. Right now, it did win...
What's the actor who's in The Hunt?
Oh, gosh, I'm looking that up right now.
Starts with, like, an M, right? It's like, I see his face, but I can't think of his name.
Hold on here. Matt Mikkelsen?
Mikkelsen.
Mads Mikkelsen.
Okay, yeah. That's the only movie that I'm, like, only a little bit familiar with, just because I see his face, like, on the poster.
Yeah. You know, it did win, like, a few other awards here. And I don't know, it just looks like one of those movies that they might give the edge to, but then again, they may just play it safe and go with the Great Beauty. I'm still kind of, I guess I shouldn't be too surprised, but I am a little bit surprised that Blue is the Warmest Color didn't get any nominations, just because I've seen that movie being nominated, like, everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it turns out that France didn't submit their polls in time to have it, you know, picked. Like, France didn't nominate the movie in time to have it be chosen for the draft picks. And that's why it wasn't, you know, picked for that award necessarily. I think it's also kind of a tough thing to do to sell an NC-17 movie to Oscar voters.
Yeah, that might be true.
You know, cause I do praise, you know, both the performances from those actresses in that movie. I think personally there was probably some problems with the script itself, but all in all, it wasn't a bad movie, and, you know, I thought for sure those two actresses would have been praised. Based on the awards it got at other film festivals, especially Cannes, mm-hmm. I thought that would give the movie a big push. Also seeing it being nominated for a Golden Globe, I thought would give it a good push to be nominated for Best Foreign Film. But apparently Oscar voters have a different choice there. Do you have any, you know, thoughts about thoughts about if anything was snubbed at all? Do you think anything was snubbed in this category? Or
I also thought that Blue is the Warmest Color would be nominated just because of, you know, how much press it's been getting, but I haven't seen it, so I can't really say for sure.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I think, you know, and usually we would talk about, you know, the best cinematography in the movies. Unless you want to talk about best cinematography in a movie.
Well, that's up to you.
Okay. Well, actually, we are just going to go ahead right now and get to some of the main categories right here. Let me get that list back up here again. All right, so let's go on to best performance by an actress in a leading role.
Mm-hmm.
For this one, we've got Amy Adams for American Hustle, Kate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine, Sandra Bullock for Gravity, Judy Dench for Philomena, and Meryl Streep for August Osage County. Any thoughts about who you think will win this one?
I, even though I haven't seen it, I'm going to go with Kate Blanchett, because she won the Golden Globe this Sunday, and because I feel like, okay, Meryl Streep, she has enough accolades already, and Judi Dench, I haven't seen it, so I can't really judge. And Sandra Bullock already has an Oscar, even though I did think she did a pretty good job in Gravity. And Amy Adams, I feel like she's going to get her Oscar. She's been, I heard this was her fourth nomination. I'm not sure about that. Might want to check. But I feel like she's going to win an Oscar, just not this year. I don't feel American Hustle was her best performance. So I'm going to go with Kate Blanchett.
I agree with that, too. In fact, there was a debate going on between Sandra Bullock and Kate Blanchett. It's actually kind of surprising, too, because I think Sandra Bullock gives a much better performance in this movie than she did in that football movie, and I don't know why it's...
Side, yeah. I really did not like that movie at all.
Say that again. What was the name of that movie?
The Blind Side.
The Blind Side, thank you. Okay. Yeah, I just felt just not like her at all, and I thought this one, she expressed a lot more emotion in this one than she did with that other role, so...
Yeah. Even though she wasn't... It was just her face. Everything else was computer animated, right?
Well, not so much, though. I mean, honestly, it's one of those movies where I still don't know how it really was done. I think they did film a lot of her on wires. There probably was a few computer things there. I don't know. Gravity is one of those movies where I will definitely buy the DVD of it when it comes out and know how they do the magic of it then.
Mm-hmm.
But until that time comes, I don't really want to know how it's done. As far as I know, they took him up in space and filmed it.
That's the magic of movies. Also, I heard that they are re-releasing it in theaters, I think this week. So
are
if
they?
You watch it and have it in 3D, you should go.
Oh, yes. Oh, I have seen it in 3D, but if they're going to release it again, I will just give me an excuse to see it again. But yeah, nope, you're exactly right. Amy Adams was nominated for The Master.
Right.
She was nominated for The Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Doubt was the other one she was nominated for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And her first nomination came in 2005 for Junebug.
Mm-hmm.
And
so is this her fifth nomination?
Yeah, this would be.
Oh, wow.
So being the fact that this is her fifth nomination, they may give it to her, being the fact that she's been nominated so many times.
Yeah. They might, yeah.
But I think all the praise has been going to Blanchett, who I believe has only won once for The Aviator. I don't think she's ever won. She was nominated for Elizabeth, but she didn't win for that one. So based on all the other awards and everything, I'm going to have to give it to Kate Blanchett. I think... If anything, it might just go to Kate Blanchett or Amy Adams for this one. Sandra Bullock could be a very well dark horse, as well as like Judi Dench. Judi Dench could be the extreme dark horse in this one.
Yeah. I feel like Philomena just like came in and was like, I'm taking over here. Because I think 2 months ago, I never heard of it. And now it's sort of like the underdog, you know.
Oh, it's a...
In all the categories.
Oh, as a major underdog, because I did not see any trailers of the movie being played.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was just like a week before the announcements were released today. Then I started seeing like little trailer spots here and there for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I try and see movies at my local independent movie theater. And I think it played there for approximately 1 week and then left due to poor box office approach. So based on all the praise it's getting now and all the nominations, it might be back up there again.
Yeah. It's currently the background ad for IMDb right now.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So moving on from there, let's go into the best performance by an actor
mm-hmm.
in a leading role. And for this one, we've got Christian Bale for American Hustle, Bruce Dern for Nebraska, Leonardo DiCaprio for The Wolf of Wall Street, this is a tough one to pronounce. I might need your help on this, okay?
You want me to pronounce it?
Would you please?
Sure. Chiwetel Ejiofor, I think.
Yeah.
12 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave, okay, thank you. And Matthew McConaughey for Dallas Buyers Club. I haven't seen the movie, but I'm going to have to give it to, I'm going to say this right, just bear with me, folks. Chiwetel Ejiofor. Is that right?
Yeah.
He's going to listen to the show and be like, you motherfucker. How dare you mispronounce my name? I'm an Academy Award nominated actor, motherfucker. So, I'm sorry. Sorry, man. But yeah, I got to give to him. The dark horse in this one would be Bruce Dern for Nebraska. If I have to give a second place trophy, it would be to Leonardo DiCaprio. Although I feel like the Academy is nominated him for this performance because they forgot to nominate him for Django Unchained.
I don't know, because you might have a point. He's been overlooked. Not so much in nominations, but in wins, obviously. Because he's one of those people who you're like, really? He hasn't won an Oscar?
Mm-hmm.
He's done so many great roles, so this could be that role that finally gets him that win. But I don't know. I feel Ejiofor might take it. But at the same time, I feel like people have really, in the past few years, been rooting for McConaughey, for him to have a comeback, myself included. So I would give it to Ejiofor, and if not, either DiCaprio or McConaughey. It's a close tie for me. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, DiCaprio definitely plays one of his most memorable characters, I think. Not only that, too, but probably one of his most charismatic characters since, like, Catch Me If You Can, which I thought he should have been nominated for. He was really amazing in that role. And for Wolf of Wall Street, he plays a different type of con man. He plays a very sleazy con man, you know, whereas in Catch Me If You Can, he's a kind of a charming con man. I do like the first line from Wolf of Wall Street where he mentions that he made so much money, but it really pissed him off because he was about $3 million short of making about $50 million a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it just puts you total in that, you know, that vein of that character. He's, you know, this slimy, egotistical guy, but he does kind of make some, like, kind of points about things and kind of makes it think, like, well, yeah, if I had all this money, would I do the same things he did? And when you watch the movie, you're thinking, well, yeah, I kind of would. This would be kind of fun to do. But I do like the fact that it does show all the bad things that happened to him. I will say my favorite part in that movie is after he takes those drugs that make him all slow.
Oh, yeah, he's at the country club.
Yeah, I don't want to give anything away to our listeners who haven't seen the movie, but I think that scene alone could have won or been nominated for Best Short Film.
That was such a well-done scene, and it really paid off. It was really funny, so I won't spoil it either, but yeah, go watch it, you guys.
Exactly. But DiCaprio, he was nominated for What's Eaten Gilbert Grape,
mm-hmm.
which is great. He was nominated for The Aviator, which was good. And he was also nominated for Blood Diamond, which I totally forgot about.
Yeah.
I think, don't get me wrong, I think those roles are good. But I thought for sure Catch Me If You Can would have gotten nominated for something, for an Oscar, but nope. All right.
And everyone always thinks he was nominated for Titanic.
Really?
Yeah, hey. I thought that too once.
You know what? You know, I heard too that a lot of people are telling me is that the Titanic was real.
What do you mean?
You know, don't you hear those things? I mean, there's been like, I swear there's been like a Twitter post or people writing like comments about the movie, and they say, hey, you know what? The Titanic? That actually happened.
Because there's people who don't believe it. They think it's just a movie.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people are thinking that there were a lot of people after the movie came out that didn't believe that it was real. and their minds got blown when they found out that it actually was real. So,
it's really sad.
I know. It is sad. Sad state of mind, Sir Christina. Sad state of mind. All right. Well, we diddled that long enough. Let's get into the Best Picture nominees. There's 9 of them this year. We've got...
Wait, you gonna go over Best Director?
Oh, tonight? Oh, thank you. Gosh, all right. See, that's why I have you here with me. You're here to help me get things on track. So, all right. So, Best Achievement in Directing. We've got Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity. Steve McQueen for 12 Years a Slave. David O. Russell for American Hustle. Martin Scorsese for Wolf of Wall Street. And Alexander Payne for Nebraska. And, I've over on the site Filmactually, I've put together, like, the list of nominees that I think would win. And I think instead of having Alexander Payne for Nebraska, I did Paul Greengrass for 12, for Captain Phillips. Mm-hmm. But I'm not upset at all with the nominees here. They're all really good. I'm going to have to give the edge to Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity just because of how much work went into that movie.
Mm-hmm.
That I think he's going to be the sure winner for this one. But at the same time, he really could be upset by Steve McQueen.
Yeah, because I think he won Best Director for the Golden Globe, so, yeah.
But, no, Steve McQueen did not win the Best Director at Golden Globes. That was Alfonso.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Alfonso won for Best Director. Steve McQueen went up to...
Oh, he won for Best Picture. Okay, because I just, like, I imagine him being on stage, so I just assumed he won for Best Director, but no, you're right.
Okay, yeah.
I was really happy to see Cuarón being nominated, because he's been nominated before, but this is his first nomination as a director, and... Like, I love him. After I saw Y Tu Mamá También, I was just so infatuated with him. And I think he was also nominated for Children of Men a few years back. So it's really nice to see him, get nominated as director.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, this is definitely his first director nomination. Surprisingly enough, he was not nominated for Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
But it got some nominations, didn't it? For, like, best, cinematography or something?
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's something like that.
But he was nominated for Best Director, which to this day, I still think it's one of my favorite of the Harry Potter movies.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, but yeah, definitely gotta give him some praise for that. and also, with Steve McQueen, this is probably his first, like, Oscar nomination. I don't think he was nominated for Shame.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. This is his first time being nominated for, such big awards.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of, I think also with him and like Michael Fassbender, I feel like the Academy Awards are going, look, man, I'm sorry, we didn't nominate you for Shame. But here you go. Hopefully this will make up for it. It's hard for me to say because I haven't seen the movie yet, which is a shame because I have seen Hunger, mm-hmm. and I have seen Shame, but I have not seen 12 Years a Slave, and I think it's the subject matter that makes me a little hesitant to watch it, but I know it's something I'll have to do. It's like the Schindler's List thing here. You have to watch it just once. I can't be a complete cinephile until I see it at least once. So before the awards show comes on, I will for sure see this movie. In fact, I have this thing where I have to see all the nominated movies that come out before the actual awards show comes on. I'm going to give it to Alfonso Cuarón. Do you have the same thoughts on this one as well?
I would say... The Academy would probably give it to Cuarón as well. And, I don't know, maybe McQueen, maybe. But I would say Cuarón for sure.
Okay, all right. And now we are going to go into the top nine nominated movies of the year. Keep in mind, folks, that this is a live show, so any flubs or mess ups, you're going to hear it on here. We're not going to edit anything out. But here we go, the nine nominated movies of the year. We've got American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street. So, really quickly, Christina, who do you think is going to take home the coveted statue?
I'm going to go with 12 Years a Slave. Sound like a broken record.
She loves her slaves.
Hold on. Yeah, I just feel, you know, it's been on a run. Everyone has been praising it. It's been receiving such great reviews. Armin White aside, you know. That was a very specific reference. If you don't understand that, that's on me. I apologize. But, yeah, 12 Years a Slave, I would say for sure. But let me just say, I was so happy that Her was nominated. So happy. So I'm, you know, kind of silently rooting for her as well.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I thought for sure the nomination of Her itself is kind of a win. Because it definitely looked like one of those movies that would just be a little bit too quirky and too weird for Academy voters to recognize.
Mm-hmm.
And I give them a lot of praise for choosing that movie. They could easily toss it out and just give it a best screenplay nomination instead. But the fact that it was nominated for Best Picture proves that everyone involved, the acting, the music work, everything was worthy of a nomination. So gotta give it praise for that. I'm gonna have to give it for, yes, I would give it to 12 Years a Slave as well for Best Picture. I think it's a more an historical, a poignant movie. Mm-hmm. It's an important story for our times. Yeah, I have to give it to that one as well. If there's any sort of upset or something like that, it could go into Gravity, mainly because Gravity has maybe more universal appeal.
I feel like it's more safe.
And it could easily go with that one. But I think since they are going to have Alfonso win for Best Director, that takes care of that. And then they'll give the Best Picture to 12 Years a Slave. So
yeah, I totally see that happening as well.
I have to say, the dark horse would have to be probably Philomena. If that wins for Best Picture, that's going to really blow everyone's mind. Not saying it's a bad movie. I don't really think about it. You know, it just it looks like a very kind of a quiet road movie. Same thing with Nebraska. Nebraska also looks like a very quiet road movie as well. Any other surprises you thought of this year's nominations?
Well, you know, since we're talking about Best Picture, you know, you mentioned there's only nine in this category when there could be 10. So you have to think, why weren't there 10 when there were clearly so many snubs? I mean, I haven't seen Inside Llewyn Davis or Blue Jasmine, but you would think that they would be in the top 10, or at least top 9.
Yeah.
So really surprised those two didn't get in the top 9 there.
Oh, definitely, very much so. Like, for my choices right there, I think I was off by just, probably 3 or so, because for Best Picture, I think I was off just by 3. Actually, for my choice, I did have Blue Jasmine, and I had Saving Mr. Banks.
Oh, yeah.
And I list
also
there.
Really surprised Tom Hanks didn't get an Oscar nom for Best Actor, because he had two two films that, you know, were very much admired by, I think, the public and critics. The one you mentioned, Saving Mr. Banks and Captain Phillips. So, and everyone loves Tom Hanks. Like, no one can get mad when Tom Hanks is nominated for an Oscar. So really surprised there not to see him.
Yeah. That is true, because I thought for sure for one of those roles he would have been nominated. I think I would have given it to him more for Captain Phillips than Saving Mr. Banks. But yeah, and also another step too from the Saving Mr. Banks rank was Emma Thompson.
Yeah, completely snubbed.
Because everyone was talking about her role in that. One of the surprises for me, and it would have to be for Best Original Song. And I am glad to see that Karen O from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs got nominated for her song, The Moon Song, from the movie Her.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that was kind of a secret little win right there. I was excited to see that.
Yeah.
Because when that happens, that means she'll most likely be at the award show to maybe sing the song.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. You're right.
So that would be really cool to hear. Just a quick rundown of the songs there. But yeah, she was nominated for along with Pharrell Williams for Despicable Me 2.
U2, I think.
Yep, U2 for the Mandela movie. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Broughton for Alone, Not Alone. But yeah, just the fact that Karen O, is nominated for her. Yeah, that's like a secret little win for me. And one of my friends will not speak to me if I don't mention this at least once there, and that's the Best Music Score category.
Mm-hmm.
Really quickly, we got John Williams for The Book Thief, Stephen Price for Gravity, Arcade Fire, who did the score for Her, Thomas Newman for Saving Mr. Banks, and Alexandra Desplat for Philomena. That's a tough one. I think I'm going to have to go with Stephen Price for Gravity. But if Her wins, I'll be happy with that too.
Yeah, I'd be happy with Her too, but I don't know. I feel like they're going to go with a regular, like, Williams or Newman. Maybe even Alexander Desplat. He's really becoming, I think, one of the top best composers in his field, so...
Okay.
No, I'd probably go with... Actually, I might go with Stephen Price.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with that as well, just because the music is really, especially towards the end of it, you really kind of feel her struggle and everything. Yeah. Really kind of a powerful visuals mixed in with that powerful music in there. And it's kind of quiet at first because you're in space and space doesn't have any score. It just quietly sneaks in there until the very end when she, I'm not going to say anything, but, so good. But yeah, I mean, do you have any other thoughts about the nominees this year? Any other?
I was really disappointed not to see Blackfish in Best Documentary. I really liked it. I know a lot of people did. I've been showing it to all my friends. So really surprised not to see that on there. Another one, Fruitvale Station, broke my heart. I didn't see it anywhere in the nominations this morning. And let me just give a little shout out. Me and the director, Ryan Coogler, actually have something in common. We both graduated from Sacramento State, so I was really rooting for him and so shocked not to hear anything. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with that one, too. That movie is an amazing movie. It's one of those movies, too, where I'm watching it because you know what happens at the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
So the whole, I'm watching the whole thing, trying my best not to cry. No, hold back in there. And the very last shot you see of with his real daughter at his funeral, bam, right there, waterworks. Couldn't hold it back anymore. That's it, just right there. Tears running down my face. Yeah. So very, very powerful movie. Gotta give that director a lot of credit because he shows you the ending of the movie, but still has you care about the characters. You know, when you're watching it, he builds up a lot with the characters' and descriptions. I thought Michael B. Jordan was fantastic in that role.
Phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Thought he would have been nominated more. Speaking about the Best Documentary category, I'm kind of surprised that Stories We Tell wasn't nominated.
I've been hearing a lot about that, and I've been hearing a lot of angry responses saying, oh, the Academy is sexist. They don't want female directors being nominated, which I mean, I'm not going to accuse anyone of being sexist if they're really not conscious of it, but let's be honest, women directors aren't always acknowledged in this industry, so...
That's true. That's true. I think the last time a female director was, like, nominated, was that Sofia Coppola?
I thought it was Catherine Bigelow.
You're right, Catherine Bigelow. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, there's, you know, there's ways to have it done, but, you know, ways to make it a little bit better. But yeah, Abby, I don't really have any other snubs here either. I do agree with your thoughts right there. Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised to see Bad Grandpa get a nomination.
I've been hearing so much shit, like, on Twitter, people saying, like, oh, you know, Coen Brothers, they don't get nominations, but Jackass does? How does that make sense? So.
It's the whole Norbit thing. You know, Norbit was nominated for an Academy Award, so they figured, hey, we'll give it to Bad Grandpa. Although I did laugh more at Bad Grandpa than I did at Norbit, so we'll be fair on that.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's nothing really that great. It's very dumb, silly. I could watch those sort of things, but it's not something I would recommend to people. Unless you like Jackass. If you like Jackass, totally watch it.
I love Jackass. Also, Spike Jonze production.
That's right. Whoa, Spike Jonze.
Yeah.
Holy crap. He's putting his money into everything here. You know, he was in The Wolf of Wall Street. He helped produce Bad Grandpa. Directed Her. I mean, shoot. Either way, he's coming on top.
Yeah. He's hosting this podcast next time, you guys.
Sweet. Nice.
No, another person I was really surprised was snubbed was James Gandolfini for Enough Said. You know, the Academy loves to give out posthumous awards, so
yeah.
I would figure he would get a nomination. It would be kind of like his, oh, your moment kind of moment. But
That's very true. I didn't even think about that. Very true. Yeah, I'm just right now... check over the nominees here, and there's nothing else that really surprised me as a snub or of all the nominees here, I'm not really upset or angry by any of them. But yeah, you mentioned it before, with Fruitvale Station not getting nominated. That one's for sure for me. I also want to say, too, James Franco for Spring Breakers.
You think so?
I think that he was really good, at least, especially for Best Supporting Actor. Yes, I would say James Franco for Spring Breakers.
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard both really terrible and really good things about that film and his role specifically. So I don't know. I think that's why I put up watching it for so long, just because I've heard mixed things about it.
The movie's not all that great, but I'm starting to like it more and more when I watch it. It's become my Big Lebowski award winner. Because I did not like the Big Lebowski when I first watched it, but each time I watch it, it gets better and better.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same thing for Spring Breakers. But James Franco does put in a really good performance in that movie. If anything, you watch it for just for him. And I thought for sure... he would have been, you know, maybe praised a little bit more for the Oscars or awards season. So that's one of my own personal snubs. I did secretly kind of want to have Julie Delpy be nominated for Before Midnight, just because I do love those movies, and I thought she put in a really good performance for her role in that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's it. You know, mild little snubs here and there, but nothing that major. But I think that's going to kind of, you know, close out our Academy Award nomination special. If you do have any comments on this episode, please post them. We'll definitely have a podcast site on this soon. We're going to put this through Podbean, and we'll post this on both of our sites. You can find my site at videovortex.wordpress.com. And can you tell our listeners, Christina, where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Christina A. Lule. I'm also on Blogger. Just type in my name and I'll show up. And I'm also on WordPress, lots of a dying cinephile.wordpress.com.
All right. And like I said, folks, this is just our pilot episode. We'll probably have maybe later on an official web address and our own Twitter name later on. But until then, you can also find me on Twitter at VideoVanguard, spelled V-A-N-G-A-U-R-D. And look for Christina as well. Say the name of your Twitter feed one more time, Christina.
At Christina A. Lule.
Lule, okay. But for our first episode of Silver Screen Speech, I am the Vern, and...
I'm Christina.
All right. Well, good night, everyone. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Don't speak. Please don't speak. Go. Go, gentle Scorpio, go. Your Pisces wishes you every happy return.